Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We were talking about how the Big Ten, when they go to a nine-game schedule, will not be playing FCS teams. And Kevin thinks that they should be playing FCS teams all the time and that there could be some great matchups along the way.
I don't know if I'd say for all example, the time, but I think there could be some entertaining matchups.
Well, Georgia State, as an example, is now going to be an FBS program.
Right.
And so they fit the qualification. And Penn State's going to pay approximately $1.2 million to have them play that one game here. Now, here's the benefit when it comes to what you're talking about. And then we see this in basketball all the time. When you see everyone play their respective exhibition games, the exhibition game where it's against Shippensburg, Lock Haven, Clarion, whomever.
Usually that first one, that first official, well, you exhibition, you did say.
It's an exhibition.
Yeah.
No, yeah, no, it's yeah, an exhibition.
It. Yeah, you're right. Exhibition yeah, is what it is.
You have a non-conference, excuse me, you have a closed scrimmage. Nobody's allowed to go except for coaches and players. You're allowed to have one of those and an exhibition game. And the exhibition game, you notice, is normally against a Division II or III opponent. That's who the exhibition game is usually against.
That's not far away.
Years ago, it used to be it was the Marathon Oils, the Athletes in Action. That was the exhibition game. And in part, UConn sort of abused the privilege of that thing. And when they did, there were a couple of issues that were brought up because of it. All right. And when that happened, they said, no, from now on, you can only go lower division teams and play them in the exhibition game. Well, there was another reason behind that. And that will now go to another reason talking about your point. To play the exhibition game, that school gets money. So thus, they are keeping the NCAA, the money within the family. Instead of bringing in a Marathon Oil and Athletes in Action or whomever it may be to play in that particular game, the money now stays within the NCAA and Shippensburg, Clarion, or pick the school of your choice, shows up, and they get a little bit of cash for playing. Not a lot, but they get a little bit of cash for paying there, which, of course, they then use. When you look at FCS teams, when they go in and they play a Penn State, Ohio State, an Alabama, a Georgia, whomever it may be, they usually get a pretty good check for it, anywhere from $600,000 to probably $900,000, right in that range. And for those schools, that one payday, that one paycheck, does go a long way to strengthening their athletic department and what they can do for all their sports by getting that payday. So when a Furman goes out and plays, a North Dakota State, an Eastern Washington, Towson, James Madison, whomever it may be, that paycheck.
And we lost our feed. Oh, there you go. See, I was going to say we lost our feed for a second, but that paycheck is where we left off.
Right, and that paycheck that these schools get goes a long way to helping out their athletic departments. So thus, in that realm, it's very, very important to them. The Big Ten not having that means they lose out on that from the Big Ten schools. So that is the negative to it from the FCS schools' point of view. From the fan point of view, scheduling, as we mentioned, is a slippery slope. You know, we talked about the need for 7 home games, and yet that means you have to have one plays. And, of course, when it comes to one plays, Akron and UMass are the one plays this year. Technically, Temple would be. UCF is a home and away. It turns out UCF's taking its home part, and instead of playing down at their stadium in Orlando, it's going to be played in Dublin. So the one plays are important because that gets you to the 7 home games, which, of course, benefits your athletic department. When Jim Delaney does this, he's talking about strength of schedule. Actually playing an Akron actually delivers more strength of schedule than playing a North Dakota State.
That's a little frightening to me.
Why? They're an FBS team.
They're an FBS team that was ranked 125th.
Who, Akron?
Akron.
The team that lost to Michigan by one last year?
At one point, Akron was ranked 125th.
I would think they would be ranked higher than UMass. UMass was 1-11.
Actually, UMass was ranked...
last year, they went 1-11.
Yeah, and they were ranked 125th. Let's see. Akron was ranked 125th when the season started. UMass, I think, was 123.
Last year.
Yes.
That all changed. Akron had actually a decent year, and UMass went 1-11.
Actually, I'm sorry. 124 was UMass's ranking.
Yeah, this was a year ago, though.
Right. That was a year ago.
Yeah, it's a little different deal now. But you play North Dakota State. But the problem is that you get a lot of baggage with the rest of North Dakota State's schedule. You got to remember, it's not just when you play them, it's everybody else they play too.
Okay, so all right.
The strength of schedule.
Okay.
You get a lot you get a lot of their baggage that goes with it. Oh, great. Fabulous win over Iowa A&T. Great. That really helped us.
Well, let me put this in perspective the way I look at it, Steve, from a high school standpoint. When you're playing a lower-ranked school, a double-A school, a triple-A school playing a double-A school, there's no bonus points involved, but you still get 10 points for every win they get for the rest of the season. That doesn't factor into the formula in the NCAA. Like, if North Dakota State wins every single game but one game, that doesn't factor into the formula.
Well, if they beat Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State, yeah.
Fair enough.
If they beat Iowa A&T, who cares? I mean, when Penn State beat Kentucky in the 2000-2001 season, Kentucky then went on a roll and won game after game after game after game. And the domino RPI that Penn State got, it was the gift that just kept on giving. Because Penn State won the game. They did so on the road and so forth. You're not going to get much of anything. There are only maybe two teams that you could play in FCS that would excite any fan base. North Dakota State would actually be, because of what they've done and game day going there, they've developed a rep. If James Madison comes in here, they go, what the heck are we doing here? If Eastern Washington comes in here, what are we doing? If Towson comes here, what are they doing? I mean, Youngstown State comes in, what are they doing? People don't want to watch those teams. They just don't want to. Now, I'm not saying they want to watch Akron or UMass either. But you also have to schedule in such a way where you get 7 home games, and you have to schedule in such a way where people have to remember there is no exhibition game. There's no preseason scrimmage against another school. You can't have that. So everybody, I think, needs to have that opening game just to get a game in, because you don't have 4 preseason games like the NFL. You don't have that, so you need to get yourself into the season. But Penn State played Indiana State. Everybody's like, oh, jeez. They played Eastern Illinois. Oh, jeez. They played Youngstown State. Oh, jeez. I mean, over and over, anytime they have played any of these teams, okay, it has brought with it Coastal Carolina. It has brought with it a collective, what are they doing? People don't want to watch those games. As simple as that. Now, is there a benefit to playing them? Yeah, I think it's a benefit to playing them, especially in the opening game of the season. There's a huge benefit to playing them because everybody just needs a game to get into it before you play what should be in your second game, a significant test. And then for the FCS team, they get a payday that really helps their athletic department and helps all of their sports a lot. So those are the benefits to playing it, right? From a fan point of view, there is no benefit. But they'll tell you there's no benefit to Akron or UMass either, or Temple. I mean, simple as that. So I see where you're, but I think where, like, you take North Dakota State, they're intriguing for a lot of people.
Except Kansas, what they've done. Or was it Kansas? Well, Kansas State, I guess it was last year.
Well, I mean, but it's not like there haven't been FCS teams that have won. North Dakota State's won. Furman is one.
Well, and Delaney mentioned App State, yeah.
You know, I mean, they've all won. I mean, the first game ever broadcast on the Big Ten Network. It's the first game ever on BTN. First ever was Appalachian State beating Michigan. Okay? So, yeah, they've won. They have won since. Furman beat Pitt, for example. You know, we know what North Dakota State did with Kansas. But I think there are, what, seven FCS teams that have won in the last, what, 3 years that have beaten FBS teams?
In the last 3 years, I think that's correct.
And, okay. And guess what? How disgusted was the fan base of each of those schools that they lost that game? It's a no-win proposition for the team that's playing them. It's no win. If you win 65 to nothing, it's like, yeah, see, yeah, it's nothing. You lose the game, what the heck's going on here? I mean, where's the benefit for the team that's playing? I mean, there's no benefit to the FBS team that's playing them. They get no benefit at all, except maybe getting a game in before the season starts. You know, especially if it's beyond the first game, they get none of that. And you know, you can rattle off all the FCS schools that you want. There is, except for maybe North Dakota State, and that's a big maybe. There is nobody out there that's going, hey, I can't wait to see South Dakota State and the Jackrabbits come in.
Well, I think there's about five teams. I think there's five FCS teams
that I would. Who?
All right, North Dakota State, obviously. Eastern Washington.
No.
Jacksonville State.
No.
Towson.
No.
I would.
No.
But maybe Florida this is because State, I follow Florida them a little State, bit more. Sam Houston
Florida
State.
Florida State. No. They come in here and I'm like, what in the heck are they playing Sam Houston State for? Jacksonville State. Okay? There's like, what? I mean, even though, remember Jacksonville State played that game with Florida State,
yes,
and it went right down to the last 5 minutes. And yes, Jacksonville State had, what, 11 former Division I players on that team, including the quarterback who had been at LSU. Okay? Right? But you can talk to your blue in the face about who they have. Because I always mark down, whenever they play an FCS school, I always mark down on my chart the transfers and what school they came from. And, for example, when Penn State played Indiana State, okay, there were 12 transfers on that team, including the quarterback who played for the University of Washington. I mean, he played, started at the University of Washington. Doesn't matter. You could tell the fans you're blue in the face. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, it was just a fluke that Eastern Washington dumps off number 25 Oregon State last year.
I'm not saying it's a fluke. I didn't say it's a fluke. I'm not saying that.
No, I know you're not. But some are. Some have.
But it doesn't interest the fans. And how angry was the Oregon State fan base after that loss?
Well, they should be. Because you're not supposed to lose those games.
Right. It's a no-win game for you in a lot of ways.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
It's a no-win game for you in a lot. If you win the game 75-0, you sit there and go, yeah, okay, fine.
But
lose the game. You lose the game. It's like, what did you do?
I'm sorry, though. Like I said, maybe I'm tainted because I see a lot more FCS football than the average person. But I would much rather see Penn State and Eastern Washington than Penn State and, no disrespect, Georgia State. It just...
There's no question that if you play at this stage, Eastern Washington or North Dakota State are actually going to be better teams than Georgia State. Now, in 2017, I don't know what Georgia State's going to be able to recruit. I have no idea. But Georgia State's going to get $1.2 million for this thing. $1.2 million to play this game. Wow. I mean, that'll help the coffers there. And, again, what's a better game? I'm sure an established North Dakota State or an established Eastern Washington. But, again, if you schedule them now, how good might they be then? Craig Bohl has already left North Dakota State. He's gone to Wyoming. Right? Not the same coaching staff.
Steve, we're going to give this a run here. Lenny from Lock Haven checking in. Has a question about smaller schools.
Hey, Lenny, how are you today?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
I heard one of the talking heads on ESPN or the Dan Patrick show talking about the fact that a lot of these bigger schools, if they want to get to one of the four bowl game, one of the four spots in the playoffs, are going to need to play bigger games and not schedule these smaller teams anymore. But the smaller teams need these bigger games, like you said, for the money. And their idea was that instead of playing them on your first game of the year, you let them play the spring game instead of a blue-white game or crimson-white, whoever, depending on who it is. That's when you pay that team to come to your facility to play an Eastern Carolina in the spring game, and then you don't need to put them on your schedule in the fall and waste that game there that doesn't help you out for the playoffs. I just want to get your take on it and what you thought.
Wow, Lenny, that's a really intriguing thought. It's interesting because you see how many guys are held out of the spring game because of injuries. I think it would be an intriguing spring game to see this happen. It would be even in a controlled scrimmage, and I think if they got some money out of that, I think it would be great. It would be the equivalent, even though it's in the spring, of the exhibition game that basketball now plays, which you have to go all out in anyway. And, Lenny, I think that's an idea worthy of consideration. How about that? I mean, it would put more juice into it.
Sure, it would put more juice into the spring game versus just us playing ourselves, and then we don't have to spend that $62 a ticket on Eastern Carolina in the fall.
That's it. That's an interesting idea, Lenny. It's a very interesting idea that is worthy of consideration. I mean, I know if I were sitting there, I would consider it, I would talk to my football coach about what he thought the pluses and minuses were from his perspective, but I like that idea.
And like I said, I can't take credit for it. It was somebody on either ESPN or the Dan Patrick Show discussing it, and I thought, well, that to me makes the most sense of anything I've heard with this topic that they've been discussing over the last year since the playoff system has come about.
Well, in all likelihood, it had to be the Dan Patrick Show. So,
oh, there you go. All right, well, I appreciate your take, and you have a great day.
Hey, thanks a lot. That's a great great call, Lenny. I appreciate it. 800-795-9565. I think that's a really interesting idea. Really interesting
I really
idea
like,
that would put
yeah.
more juice into the spring game. I could see that.
The only question I have is, would you be able to get enough players in on both sides of the ball to see everybody in the spring game?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No question about that. There's some people that you would get in probably, no, for a series or two and then, get them out of there. You know, so, I mean, and you just do that, and I think it would be fun for the fans. I think it'd also be beneficial just to see you against somebody else, and it'll also be beneficial, obviously, for them financially, as Lenny pointed out, that they can get some money for that game to help their athletic departments and put maybe a little more juice into the spring game beyond just playing yourself.
Now, here's another question, though, Steve. as a fan, would you pay to see that game as opposed to not paying to get in to see the blue-white game?
I wouldn't charge more than a nominal rate.
I would agree with that. You know, I think it's fair to charge for the game, but I think it would have to be a nominal rate.
Oh, no. Well, again, if you're paying for them to be there,
right.
Hey, you know, you have to come up with some money somewhere for it. But, for example, I don't know, $10.
I was thinking $10. Yeah, I was thinking $10.
You know, to go in and see a game like that. I mean, if you go in and you pay $10 and 72,000 people show up, that's $720,000. Okay? You take $250,000 of that and give it to them. Give another $250,000 to charity, and then, you know, whatever. You know, give the money to the fund, something beyond what you give them. How about that?
As Mark Lawrence says, we've now cured all known diseases. We solved the problems of the world and cured all known diseases with that. That's great.
I don't think Reichley agrees with that. All right, bottom of the hour coming up. And with that, of course, news. Sarah Bartlett will have that. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show, the Tuesday edition, being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. For more than five decades, Kratzer Insurance has served the Valley, because they understand that service and price mean everything to you, thus it means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. The Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. Whether it's pre-sale, the actual sale itself, or obviously the great job the service department does, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, what does one do? I thought that's a very Lenny brought up an interesting point, an idea that he had heard probably on the Dan Patrick Show, which you can hear here on WKOK, about maybe taking the spring game and playing it against someone else. I know at one point Bill O'Brien and Brady Hoke had talked about a preseason scrimmage, which also would be an intriguing idea to have, where you legitimately have a preseason scrimmage that doesn't count against your 12 games, that you play against maybe an FCS team, which is also another possibility that deserves, to me, consideration, because then that would clear up the opening part of the schedule for you if you would have a scrimmage in which you charge the nominal amount for people to come in, equivalent to the exhibition game like basketball has.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. If basketball, and I know some other sports, can have exhibitions, why can't football have one exhibition game? Or because one scrimmage, or however you want to word it.
Because under the current rules, that counts as a game.
Okay, I understand that, but why are the rules that way, I guess is what I should have said.
Why are the rules anything when it comes to college sports? Because when you talk about college sports right now, again, it goes back, and Joe talked about this many times. They need to take the rule book, rip it up, and start over again. They need to have a rule book that fits 2014. They need to have a rule book that takes out antiquated rules. They need to have a rule book that fits today and how today, that fits today's athlete, fits today's recruiting model, fits today's athletic model, and not fit. I mean, some of the rules are put in place based on what happened in 1952. Well, it's different now. I mean, it's different now. See, I mean, that's why they need to start over with some of these things, and that's where, for example, that vote on August 7th is going to be important to see if the five power conferences end up having some level of rule autonomy that deals specifically with their issues and not having voted upon by the entire membership. Now, you've talked about, has Bucknell been able to go out and scheduled along the way in the FBS teams in the last 10 years?
Not to my knowledge, no. And part of the reason was because the Patriot League was not a scholarship league for quite a while.
Right, exactly. So you don't have that. Now, Boston College used to play Holy Cross. In fact, they played Holy Cross every year as their either last or next to last game of the season. They usually play right around Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I did know that. I'd forgotten about it, but I did know about that.
BC, I remember Doug Flutie played against Holy Cross.
Right.
Because that was a traditional game. Well, that game no longer exists on the BC schedule. And, I mean, scheduling Ivy League teams, not even that does much for you. I mean, people don't get excited. I mean, great, they're playing Yale. Fabulous, they're playing Dartmouth, Harvard. I mean, when Brown was brought in here as a late replacement for Auburn, right? That's who Brown replaced, was Auburn. People were like, what are they playing Brown for? Well, that's where we are. And one of the, at least with nine conference games, I know some people are not enamored with nine conference games, especially with playing five home, four away, or five away and four at home. The unbalance of it in terms of determining a conference championship game component, the imbalance of home versus away, all right, that's the negative to it. But it is a conference game, which puts an extra game of meaning on your schedule beyond, obviously, the national importance of it.
And by the way, Villanova will start their schedule this year with Syracuse.
Right.
Last year they played Boston College and lost that one by 10.
And then they played Temple before, too.
Yes, they played Temple before, too.
Villanova's played Temple.
Steve, I have Tony on the line from Shamokin. And by the way, Dave had called earlier, and we were having trouble getting the phone lines running. I am all set to go, so if, Dave, you want to ask your question, you can. But I got Tony on the line now for you, Steve.
Tony and Shamokin, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing? I remember back in the mid-90s, my nephew played football for Susquehanna. They would have scrimmage games against Bucknell. Now, why would they be allowed to do that? Division I couldn't.
In part, I think because Bucknell was non-scholarship at the time. The rules are also a little different, Tony, for, quote, and excuse my lack of coming up with a better way of phrasing it, the lower divisions. know, they have, for example, a 16. They have a 16-team playoff, for example. So the rules are a little bit different the further down the ladder you go. So it probably back in the 90s that was allowed to happen, but the rules are different down there. Meanwhile, FBS schools, Division 1A schools, whatever you want to call them, have never been allowed to have that.
Well, and FCS schools will play a full schedule. Plus, you could play up to, what, I think 5 playoff games?
Right.
I remember back in the 50s when I was young, really young, we'd go down and watch Fordham and Villanova. They would scrimmage. Sure.
Right.
Well, now they're almost a regular season game for both teams now.
Well, they were big schools back then.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think the last 2 or 3 years, Fordham and Villanova played the second week of the season.
They're great games to watch, if you know the history behind them. Going back to playing schools that are in a lower division, do you remember in '86 when Penn State played Cincinnati, almost blew that whole national championship in that game?
Yeah, they did, because Penn State was down in that game and then put together a drive, a big pass play to Blair Thomas to the 50-yard line that covered 37 yards. Then David Clark scored 2 plays later after that. Then Shane Conlon blocked a punt for a safety, and Penn State got out of there 23-17.
Wouldn't that have been a disaster? Now, what, scheduling Cincinnati that year, what good did that do Penn State? Not a bit of good.
Well, you're right. It doesn't do them
Cincinnati.
Right. It was
exactly
right.
Area.
That's
I'm
where it
lose
stands.
So, listen, I'm going to hang up. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. Hey, yep. Good points, Tony. Yeah. And, of course, Penn State was independent, though. So, Penn State in 1986 already had on Alabama, Notre Dame, Pitt. I mean, they already had all those schools on the schedule, along with the Eastern teams of West Virginia, Syracuse, Boston College, and so forth. And then, of course, part of the filler was this game with Cincinnati that Penn State was losing 17-14 in the fourth quarter. And then John Schaefer on a third down play hit Blair Thomas over the middle to the 50. Then Thomas made another big play, and then David Clark scored the touchdown to put Penn State in front 21-17. Cincinnati got the ball back, and Shane Conlon blocked a punt that went out of the end zone for a safety, and Penn State won it 23-17 and survived in that game. Survived. And Tony's right. What good does it do you? But then again, it tells you everybody has talent. You better win games like that. I mean, you know, you get scares like that along the way. Now Cincinnati, which has been to the Sugar Bowl within the last 5 years, is a good program. Maybe not a great, awesome, and incredible program, but Cincinnati is a good program that has a Sugar Bowl pedigree in its background in the last 5 years.
Well, and I think you see with the FCS schools now being more competitive. I think it was 7 last year that actually won in the first couple of weeks of the season, the first 2 weeks of the season. And part of the reason they're more competitive is the scholarships that are available at the FCS level that hadn't been there for the last, for decades even.
But it's interesting to listen to Jim Delaney. He was talking about the numbers, what, 63?
I think it was 63, he said, yeah, which I didn't know what the number was. So that was interesting to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they put Penn State at 65 the last 2 years.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, that was my point. Hey, Dave from Sunbury on the line here, Steve.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. Great to hear the phone lines buzzing today.
Hey, Steve. That gentleman called about the deal about the spring game, and he gave the credit to, I guess it was Dan Patrick. Well, I got just coupling on with that. How about somebody on the other side of the division that we don't play in the regular season?
Well, actually, that's been talked about by several within the Big Ten, that as a non-conference game, as an example, Penn State were to schedule Nebraska as a non-conference game. That's actually been talked about within the Big Ten, of maybe scheduling somebody in the other division that is not in the rotation and having that be your non-conference game of significance. And people have talked about that possibility. In basketball, it happens sometimes because everybody at one point or another rotates out of a home and away into a single game scenario. At some point, everybody does. And Indiana and Purdue, whenever they have rotated off the home and away scenario, have always picked up a non-conference game that is scheduled at the place that they're not supposed to be at that year. So that does happen actually in basketball from time to time.
Well, I was thinking about, to be honest, you know, I said about the spring game, you know, like a scrimmage. But you could have one for a
not
scrimmage.
A scrimmage. That, no. Well, if you schedule a scrimmage, Dave, it counts as a game. That's, when it comes to football. So, in other words, if Penn State wanted to, for example, schedule, say they wanted to scrimmage Bucknell. Let's just say they wanted to schedule Bucknell. This is a scrimmage.
Okay.
It's a scrimmage. Penn State could only play 11 regular season games.
Okay. Well, then just might as well stay with the inter-squad scrimmage and. Unless you want to.
Right.
You know, like you were saying about the money you can do, but then that's going to take away from one of your regular season games.
Now, that's under the current rules. Now, maybe they can tweak the rules and you can play it as your spring game, or you can tweak the rules and you can scrimmage them in the preseason.
Yeah.
To
okay.
give them a look, give them some money. I mean, there's certain scenarios that maybe you can do that helps them, but also gives you a chance to improve your product as well
helps
in a scenario
sides.
That doesn't, quote, count. Right.
Yeah,
that doesn't
helps
count.
Both sides.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'll hang up and listen for the rest.
All right, Dave, and we will take a break. Today's show brought to you by Crotzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Keep the phone lines humming. A lot of calls today. You'd like to join in, get your opinion. That's 800-795-9565. Phones have been humming today. Talking about scheduling FCS versus FBS. The Big Ten's going to stop scheduling FCS as of, I think everybody has to have that part shut down 2 years from now, starting in 2016. And you can debate, and the debate... Take a Georgia State, for example, which will be on Penn State's 2017 schedule. I mean, is Eastern Washington in its current form or North Dakota State in the last 3 years better than that team? In all likelihood, yes. Okay? In all likelihood, yes. But when it comes to the non-conference schedule, unless it is Alabama, LSU, USC, Texas, whatever, it's hard selling a non-conference schedule to fans. And each coach has their own philosophy. For example, you know, our conference is tough enough. Do we need to schedule another tough game? I mean, that'll be one of the arguments. Or I want to have a tough game before I get into conference. Or I want a tough game on there because you know, I want to be able to roll some RPI points here by winning a game like that and putting us on the map. I mean, last year now, this was a conference game. Okay, this was a conference game. All right? This was a non-conference game. A non-conference game last year. Clemson beat Georgia. Remember that? Non-conference game. Clemson beat Georgia. The amount of domino that they got out of that, which then led to their showdown with Florida State in the conference. Then Florida State won, and it vaulted Florida State. But there is a domino to it when you do win a game like that. Look what it's done for Boise State over the years. Now, Boise State was an interesting position. Athletic, deep, good quarterback play, and so forth. But on their schedule, I mean, they brilliantly made sure they got up and ready for two big games a year. That one big non-conference game that was a marquee game like a Virginia Tech or Georgia or somebody like that, and then the bowl game.
Yeah, now they can hardly find somebody to play them now during the regular season outside of the conference.
But this is why we're going to see the big test for Chris Peterson as a coach, because now by going to Washington and coaching in the Pac-12, he's going to roll a relatively tough game almost every week. Not every week, but most weeks he will by playing in a conference like that where there's a level to it week in and week out.
Steve, I have Dick from Milton on the line. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead and finish that thought, and then I have Dick on the line from Milton.
Nope. Rather hear from Dick. Go ahead, Dick.
This is Steve. This has really nothing to do with who's playing who, but I found rather interesting a couple of days ago. I got the Wingsport Sun, which I don't very often. Lycoming College, a non-scholarship Division III school, brought in 51 freshmen for their football team this year, and they listed them.
Wow.
I just found that.
Wow.
I mean, well, I don't even know how it's almost possible. That's an expensive school to go to, and I'm sure they're getting some kind of financial aid. But the number was amazing to me.
A lot of them from a local too. A lot of them are local talent.
Yeah, I know they are. I understand that. But even so, that's still a lot of kids to bring in freshmen for your football team. Unless everybody else left, and then that's the whole thing.
51's a staggering number, Dick.
Well, really? Well, I wouldn't have believed it, but they listed them. They listed them by where they're from. Right.
Actually,
position,
was it?
Size, and
yeah, it's 51 true freshmen and 4 transfers, if my memory serves correct.
I've been asking her. I've been trying to figure out how they do it, how anybody could do it at any level, let alone a Division III non-scholarship level. I just, 20 kids, 22 kids, 24 kids at Bucknell and a Penn State, 51 51 at Lake Cumming.
That gives new meaning, Dick, to young football team.
but I think
that's a really young football team.
I didn't count them, but somebody said there's 111 or 112 or 14 on their roster total. So, obviously they were short some kids, but even so.
And a plethora of skill positions, too.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big changeover.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember back when the Alabamas and the Auburns and the different schools would carry 125 kids? Well, how many would they bring in then?
There was no limit. Pitt, West Virginia, and Penn State and Syracuse had an informal agreement on the number that they would bring in. I think they set it at 100. All right, that's
total.
What they did. But 100 scholarship guys. This is back in the 60s, 70s, whatever. So those schools had an informal arrangement among themselves. It was 100 right in that range. And then eventually they put the rules in because, some teams, for example, had literally, and I'm not joking here, a seventh and eighth string. You'd have 150 guys in the training camp.
I recall some of the southern schools had a lot of kids. A lot.
Yeah.
Big rosters.
I mean, big rosters. Now you're only allowed to bring 105 to your camp, and then you cannot expand your roster until after the first day of classes. And usually most teams will expand it to the point where they're carrying a total of 115 guys. Dick, thanks for the call. Well, this was fun today. Boys, the calls and get the perspective. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com is going to join us tomorrow to recap Big Ten Media Week. Today's show has been brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service or price means something to you, it means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Thanks for joining us today from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Route 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, my friend, great show. Enjoyed it. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Have a good one.